11 ways to crush it with online ads. Hi, this is Doug Curtis, and I'm going to take a few minutes to give you a marketing tip that hopefully, actually there's 11 marketing tips, and hopefully these little tips will help you improve the sales and marketing results that you're currently working with in your business. Now, let's take a look at number one. Many people do homepage no-nos. What's a homepage no-no? So if you're putting an ad together and it's online, you're going to have a CTA, or call to action. And many, many, many companies make the error of just sending them to their homepage. That's a no-no. Never, ever send a visitor who clicks on your online ad to your homepage or any other page on your website that is not designed to continue your ad message. Homepages are for search engines and visitors to find, use, and enjoy. They are not landing pages for ads and campaigns. Not only will your visitor get lost and confused, they will be frustrated because they can't find the subject of your ad. And additionally to that, you have no way to track it. Why would you want to do anything that has to do with advertising if you can't track it, if you can't manage it? That's why you're doing digital marketing, so you can manage it, so you can track it, so you can improve it. All right, let's go to number two. We mentioned landing pages. You always have to have a landing page. We call it in the business a lander. You have to have a landing page to send your visitor to from your ad. Smart marketers test several different landing pages or landers for the best response. Not all ads may link to the same landing page either. It clearly depends on the ad's message and the continuity of that message through to the landing page. Several great software as a service SaaS companies offer hundreds of pre-designed landing pages. You can Google them. Just Google landing pages. There's a lot more that you can learn about landing pages, but the key point here is if you're not using them, you should. All right, let's go to number three. The headline of the ad is called an interrupt. You want to interrupt the prospect. It must instantly convey your message and ideally take more than 7 words to do it. Now, is that a hard and fast rule? No, but let's just use it as a rule of thumb. It must interrupt their thought pattern, telling them that this is not like any other headline they have seen in this space. Your company name is not a headline. Your product name is not a headline. How many years you've been in business is not a headline. You get the point. We can come back to that. Let me go on to number four. The second part of an ad, an online ad, actually any ad, is to engage the prospect. So you've got them interrupted. Now we want to get them engaged. We want the ad to engage your prospect and inform them that it requires them to pay attention and to continue to read your message. The engage part is typically the subheader of the ad. This also explains part of the headline, the interruption. So again, to recap, you've got the interrupting headline, and now you've got the subhead or the engaging part. Those are the first two elements. Let's go to number three. Principle number five. This is called the engage. We want the ad to engage your prospect and inform them that it requires them to pay attention and continue to read your message. The engage part is typically the subheader of the ad. This also, I got screwed up. The next principle, which is principle number five, is called the educate part of the ad. Here, instead of the usual chest pounding, we actually educate the customer, something which has rarely been done before in the ad space. This gives the prospect yet another reason to continue reading your ad, educating him on what he's going to learn to be educated to make a more informed purchase, on why he should keep going. Remember, let's recap. You interrupted him in the ad, you engaged him in the ad, and now you're having the third part of the ad, you're educating him. All right, let's go on to the principle number 6, which is finally the offer part of the ad. The offer part of the ad sets up the next steps or the call to action. What will the prospect get out of taking the next step? Is there an irresistible, compelling offer for them to take the next step? Which in this case means clicking on the ad and being taken to another web page, your landing page, for more information. So again, for following along here, we've interrupted them, we've engaged them, we've educated them, and now we've given them an offer. Before we go further, I just want to make a point that if you look online today, you will see many, 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 many ads that don't have any offers. They don't have any call to action. You need a call to action. Let's go on to principle number 7, ad placement. This one is often overlooked online. Let's take a little walk back in history when everybody was reading newspapers and magazine advertising. If we didn't have the budget for a full page or even a half page ad, we used to request ads be placed on the upper right hand section of the page. We made that request for good reasons. We wanted visibility for our ad. We didn't want it to be buried with lots of other ads. We wanted position, and we wanted enough space to be able to communicate our message. The same principles apply online. You may have a great ad with all the above principles. The interrupt, the engage, the educate, the offer. I probably sound like a school teacher, but I'm trying to actually communicate here the principles that I want you to remember. And this is a podcast, so what we want is to make sure that that ad gets seen. If it doesn't get seen, it's not going to get read. It's not going to get clicked on. So let's focus on the top of the page or close to it. Banners and boxes can work well if the site has traffic. All right, let's look at principle number 8. Employ a squeeze page. A squeeze page. All right, there's a lot of different explanations for what a squeeze page is. But how do you know you've clicked on your ad and got to the landing page? The answer is you really don't. Google, Bing, Facebook, all of those can supply stats. But unless you employ another mechanism called a squeeze page, which is with a form to fill out, where you're squeezing the information out of them, you will be in the unenviable position of paying for traffic. Somebody, you paid for the click, you paid for the page view, and this would generate little or no business and zero methods in which to follow up. So you've got to try to have an enticing offer that persuades the clicker, the guest, the prospect, to give you their email address. That's the squeeze page. And that's a whole art form in itself. But if you're not doing it, you're just counting clicks. And nobody cares about counting clicks at the big long mahogany table. They only care about sales results. They only care about how many people are in the pipeline. You brought them in the top of the funnel, but they never got any further. You need to move them down the funnel. All right, let's go down to principle number 9. Name and email capturing is a must. You use your squeeze page for that, but do not get too demanding. Asking the visitor for their telephone number or their street address or how big their company is or other details that are typically nice to have. But the less you ask for, the more your form on your squeeze page will get filled out and submitted. We're only trying to generate a lead. We're not going to close the deal with this. We're just getting a lead. All right, let's move on. We get to number 10. Principle number 10. Make them an offer. Free is a great offer. Free works well, but it must be relevant to your offer and your goods and your services. So you can offer them a free report. You can offer them a white paper. You can offer them a guide to buying X. You can offer them an infographic, something that makes it easy for them. You can offer them more information. Remember, you're trying to educate the buyer to get engaged. So you've got to make them an offer. And then number 11, follow up. Not everyone will buy on the first click. We said that before. Put their email and name into your email database and continually follow up with them with specials, deals, educational information. Nurture them. Remember that only, out of the universe of people that are looking at your information, they're attracted to it, but only 1 to 5% are now buyers. So where are the other 95 to 99% people? Where are those are prospects, but you need to what? Follow up with them and nurture them. Continue to educate them. We all know the story of what happens on Amazon. You go there. You're looking for something, for a book. You read all about the book. You read what other people have to say about the book. And then you read about other things that people who bought that book also might want too. And because you got interested, you got engaged, you got educated, what does Amazon do? It comes back and it reminds you, hey, you were looking at this product, and they nurture you. They're saying, hey, there's a special on this product, or hey, there's more information about this product. They're nurturing you. And the basic law of reciprocity is that if you do something for someone else, they're engaged with you. That's what happens with Amazon. Amazon helps you, encourages you, nurtures you, and when you get ready to buy, you say, you know what? Basic law of reciprocity, I'm going to go back to them. It's easy. They helped me make an informed decision. That's what you want to do. You want to help your buyer to get educated. So if you employ even 50% of these 11 ideas to crush it with online ads, it will put you 95% ahead of the rest. Good luck.